Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. So Paul's a prisoner when he's writing this, but he says, well, I'm the Lord's prisoner. So he doesn't allow himself to think, oh, well, I'm trapped, I can't do what I want. He realizes that he is with the Lord and that this imprisonment is of the Lord Jesus. So I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I beg you to walk worthily of the calling to which you are called. In other words, if we are called to everlasting life in God's kingdom, then our walk, our life now, will reflect that. If we're going to live forever, and we are sure of that by God's grace, and we can be sure of it, then we will walk, we will live daily in a way that's appropriate to that. And he says how you should walk, how you should live, with all humility, with all patience, being patient with one another in love, trying very hard to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So he's saying that because of that great hope, you will be patient and loving and humble with each other, because that, of course, is really how God has been with us in order to bring us to that everlasting life. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord Jesus, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And unto each one of us has been given according to the measure of the gift of Christ, grace. So then, grace means a gift, and we have all been given this, I suppose in a slightly different way. We have different sins to be covered. We have different gifts of service that we've been given, different personalities. Wherefore, he says, when he ascended on high, and it's talking about Jesus, he led captives captive, and he gave gifts unto men. The fact he ascended, that is to heaven, means that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that has ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the development of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a mature person, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So then, the gifts of the Spirit were given in order to give us the power to be Christ, and eventually to come, I suppose ultimately in the kingdom of God, to where we are as mature as Jesus. Now in the first century, they were given these gifts in terms of having apostles and prophets and etc. Now, we don't have those those supernatural, miraculous gifts. But all the same, the intention of the work of God's Spirit in our hearts is the same. So that we should be given the power to be able to develop to the point of maturity of Jesus. Now, it seems to me that we all die imperfect, without having reached that level of Jesus. But ultimately, when he comes, as Paul says, we shall be changed into his likeness. And so Paul says, he goes on, we shall be now no longer children, who are just tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind and wave of teaching, deceived by men and in their craftiness, but rather speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, even the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole body is knit together, according to that which every part of it supplies, according to the working in the measure of every part, and the body makes increase of itself in love. So this is how the body should function. Every part of the body contributing and working together so that it grows. And that's God's intention for us, that when we're baptized into the body of Christ. And through cooperating with the other members in love and with those who have received the Spirit, because the Spirit is what sort of is the oil that keeps all this going and growing and moving, then we will grow together. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk or live as the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, who were alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of their blindness and being past feeling. So, we are not to live in the vanity of mind that is in the world. And when you look at how the world lives, the sort of stuff they look at on their screens, and the way they think, it is vain, because they have no hope. Because they are separated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Whereas we are different. We're not better than them in that sense, but we are not enemies from the life of God. God has made known his life and ways to us. We are not ignorant. And therefore, for us, you see, there's a totally different way of life and living and being. And he's encouraging them then, as he says, put off the old man, which is corrupt with all its lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So, putting away lying, each of you speak the truth with his neighbour, because we are members one of another. So if you're members of the same body, well, be truthful with each other. Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't give any opportunities to the devil. And the devil is our own mind, our own temptations. Let him who stole stop stealing, but rather let him work with his own hands, doing what is good, so that he can actually have something to give to poor people. Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good, for building other people up, that it may minister grace to those who hear. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by which you are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and all kinds of malice and evil speaking be put away from you. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you.